historically black college in Georgia. He said, quote, "You great Morehouse men are bound only by the limits of your own conviction and creativity." Morehouse says Smith promised as much as $40 million to make sure that each graduate leaves college debt-free. And Woodstock 50 organizers moving forward with the festival with a new financial partner after breaking ties from the original backers. Investment bank Oppenheimer & Company has agreed to fund the festival, which is set to take place between August 16th and 18th in Watkins Glen, New York, with artists like Santana, The Killers, Miley Cyrus, and Jay-Z. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Our local weather forecast here at HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Isolated showers later on today. Scattered thunderstorms maybe after 2 p.m. Outside right now, 77 degrees. Chance would be to get to the 80s later on today, mid-80s. Let's see, Tuesday, Sunday, high near 71. Lows will be in the 40s. Tuesday night, sunny on Wednesday. Again, in the 70s, Wednesday and Thursday, although Wednesday night we may see some showers come through. Thursday night, a little chance of showers in the evening. Clearing up again on Friday, a little cloudy on Friday night, but looks like sunny through the weekend. Stay tuned for Sheffield's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I think we are streaming live today on Facebook, so attach a face to the name. So we're here a week before Memorial Day already. Just had Mother's Day, and now we got another food. I like food holidays, right? Good excuse to get together. So yeah, Memorial Day is early, but this coming Monday, started grilling season, as they say in the Midwest, and I know it seems like 4th of July, we think hot dogs and burgers, other times different celebrations we attach specific foods to. Of course, Memorial Day could be as simple as a picnic, could be something you make ahead and just get outdoors, have a little al fresco, something simple. Or you could go full-blown barbecue. Nothing ever wrong with that. But I was thinking of, the summer, at least in the Northeast here, the summer bounty hasn't even, a lot of it hasn't even been planted yet. But There are some items, some vegetables we can get year-round. One of the things about outdoors is a lot of times salads get relegated to either mayonnaise-type things or something. Lettuce, let's put it this way. Lettuce is difficult when you get it out in the heat. Or if you're mixing, dressing some kind of salad and you have to travel, or if it sits outside for a while, it gets soggy, right? A lot of water comes out of the lettuce, loses its crunch. So we start to think of chopped salads. You know, and there's the obvious, there's rice and grain salads and bean salads, things like that. But I was thinking of chopped salad. We needed some, somebody wanted some, a tray of wraps, and they wanted more vegetarian options. So we always have hummus. And a lot of times I'll do hummus, but I didn't have any olives, and sometimes I take it kind of like a Mediterranean salad type, artichoke, olive, peppers, things like that. But I had plenty of fresh ingredients. And I said, what about something called an Israeli salad? It's a simple chopped salad. And I tell you what, it worked great with the hummus. It's just dressed simply with olive oil and lemon juice. So I started thinking, okay, something like this. And, of course, there's many variations, and you can kind of see where other cultures kind of do something similar or take it to another level maybe. And so I thought, well, we've done our purees, our mortar and pestle, kitchen tools, and this is a good chance to hone up our knife skills. A lot of meal kits that are delivered now, of course, you have your ingredients there, and they're measured, but there's still some slicing and dicing to do. And that, for me, kind of before the meal, or say if you're waiting for your water to boil for pasta, or if you're cooking potatoes, or you have a roast in the oven, and there's these other tasks you do to get ready, and most of it's either preparing your salad or your side dishes, vegetables, or something for your sauce. Or if you're making a soup, of course, you're going to do all this kind of cutting up front. But I got to thinking, you know, that we have processors and blenders and ninjas and all these things that chop up vegetables for us. But the kicker with the Israeli salad, the fine point, I guess the sign of good quality, is that the vegetables are hand-chopped, they're uniform size, and depending on how you're going to use it, it could be, you know, a little bit larger dice. When I think of, say, a Greek salad, the vegetables are in fairly larger pieces. So there is a little bit of lettuce in a traditional Greek salad anyway. But you may be cutting 3/4-inch dices on vegetables or slices, peppers, onions, things like that, tomatoes, kind of spear them with the fork. With the Israeli salad, of course, the cubes are smaller. I'm saying about 1/4 inch. And the nice thing is, with a good sharp knife and, you know, of course, paying close attention on technique, you can achieve this. If you wanted to cut smaller to what we call brunoise, 1/8 inch, very nice, very fine, almost like confetti, and that's kind of cool when you can do that. But you want everything even, and there's looking, of course, the difference between a chopped salad and a salsa and a pico de gallo. I'm thinking of all these kind of similar chopped mixtures that actually for our barbecue or a cookout would be something, that's very easy to transport. It will hold up well. And it becomes either a side dish or it can be a topping for things. I say we made a wrap out of it with the hummus in the wrap and this chopped vegetable salad. It was delightful. And you could use it as a garnish. We have a mixture called a pico, not pico de gallo so much, but pico that we use at the restaurant. Kind of the same idea, but it's more finely chopped and it's spicy. And this is what we season our guacamole with. We put a couple of tablespoons on the fish tacos. We garnish chili with it. It becomes kind of one of those other mother sauces. And nice thing is you can make it a little bit ahead. It's not really in a vinegar. It's more in the citrus juice, so it's not going to really pickle that much, although, you know, some a little bit of the pickle flavor wouldn't be a bad addition if that's what you like. But this is more of this fresh chopped vegetables, some fresh herbs and seasoning, olive oil and lemon juice. But on the way, we're going to look at knives. What we need to do to, of course, be safe with our knives, and then chopping and slicing techniques to make sure that everything comes out uniform and that we're safe. We don't cut ourselves. The main difference, I know, just thinking about differences between a salsa, let's say, in a restaurant with chips. So these salsas are a little more liquidy, and those are very good in the blender or in the food processor. You're not looking really for uniformity all the time, but you want a little bit more liquid to come out of the product and a little bit of some small chunks in there for texture. But for these mixtures here, you really want the vegetables to stay. You want to keep the juice in the vegetable. That's part of the beauty of these salads, the pico and the chopped salad. You make sure that your knife, of course, is very sharp, and you're not just randomly hacking away at things. You want the nice uniform size, and as a little, you know, disturb the product as little as possible. Keep the juice inside instead of having it run out. Israeli salad, of course, simple ingredients. They're tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, onions, olive oil, and lemon juice. And what I used was some mint and some chopped parsley for seasoning. And then another addition I found is za'atar, if you can get that spice blend, Z-A. Apostrophe T-A-R, or it could be spelled Z-A-H-T-A-R. Mid-Eastern spice, it's sumac, thyme, maybe oregano or marjoram, some sesame seed in there. Very nice aromatic spice blend. We make an oil with that to drizzle on top of hummus. So it's all right, we have this nice virgin olive oil with the za'atar infusion in there, so I've got a nice flavor. So that's what I used for my seasoning. And came out, it doesn't need to sit, you know, it's best really made and served very fresh, although a day or even 2 days later, the vegetables, they'll throw off a little bit of liquid, but basically still retain their good texture. So first, I guess, today, we'll talk about knives a little bit, just a little review on our knives, make sure they're in good shape so we can do this nice precision chopping, I guess we'll call it. I always like, knife's the most important tool in the kitchen, probably the most used one. And, of course, we can do almost anything with the knives versus some of our implements that only do one thing. So when we come back, we'll review our knife skills and techniques and safety, and then we'll get into a couple of these chopped mixtures that we're going to use for our picnics or barbecues or any time. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programs.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Chef Bill's table here, talking about knife skills. Right there. I always say if it takes longer to clean a tool than it takes to use it, then maybe you don't need it right then. And over chopping a few things, bringing out the food processor might be a little over the top. So a sharp knife, most useful knife. You could buy these knife sets that have different ones, and just like with pots and pans, I like to say, you know, buy the things that you know you're going to use. Sometimes, you know, just for the sake of telling you there's a lot of pieces in there, they'll include knives or pots that you might never use. So most important, what you call a French knife or a cook's knife, like a long triangular shape. There are some out there that have the curved edge, the kantatsu. It's pronounced in the Japanese style. And those are pretty good. I like the tip on the knife because sometimes you end up using it, like for dicing an onion. You need that tip of the knife, that nice tapered tip. And also when you're rocking the knife on the cutting board, the tip is on the board. Sometimes when you're doing some fine chopping, helps to stabilize the knife and gives you a little bit better control. So we want, of course, high carbon stainless steel, carbon steel, the old knives, of course, they sharpened a lot easier. You could sharpen them on the bottom of a ovenware plate. But they discolor, and they are a little softer. And, of course, on the polycarbonate cutting boards or the composition boards, they get dull pretty quick. And all stainless steel, you know, we like that combination. So high carbon stainless. And what I like for my cook's knife, for me, a little bigger person, so a 12-inch is good, but you can get smaller ones, 10-inch blade, up to 16 inches. I liked mine with the bolster, which is like the heel of the knife, the wider part, that to be good and strong, because that's what sometimes that heel, you need that, even a way to crack through small bones or joints if you need to. And this knife could be used for almost anything. 12 inches long enough, if you needed to slice with it, you could. Although you do, in your knife collection, if you do roasts, a good slicer is always handy to have. A long, usually 14, 16 inches. I like the wavy-edged ones. They stay sharp easier. Electric knives, you know, I guess if you're tearing apart a turkey or something, it might be useful, but those things sometimes tend to shred rather than slice. But a good cook's knife, and they're a good paring knife or a boning knife. A paring knife, obviously useful for taking the skins off things. And if it's a good, strong paring knife, you could also use it for getting the bones out of fish or small bones out of meat. If you do a lot of butchering, of course, a good boning knife is essential. But a paring knife, cook's knife, a slicer, and we always like to have a serrated knife for bread and for some fruits. Cheese is one of the greatest enemies of sharp blades, and using knives, unless it's very hard cheese, you can slice through, but a nice cheese cutter with a wire is always the best thing, especially for some softer cheeses. And of course, sharpening the knives, professional sharpening is always good to do once in a while. For maintenance in between, either a sharpening stone, or they have the little, there's little electric ones you can get, or you just the circular stone that you draw the knife through. What I found useful, of course, a lot of knives come with a steel. And the steel is for, after you sharpen the knife, you just do that fine-tuning on the sharpening steel. I like to get the diamond-dusted steel. That's what we use at the restaurant. So it's a sharpening steel, not just for finishing, but it will also help to regain some of the edge on a knife because it's got diamond dust on it, nice hard substance, and just keep it clean. But that will help you in between your professional sharpening. Keep your blades in good shape. You do want sharp blades if you're chopping or slicing something and the knife makes kind of a louder sound than usual when it hits the board. You're inadvertently forcing through, and that's when accidents can happen. The sharp knives don't cut as many people as dull knives do because you don't have that smooth passing through the product, you're forcing it, it kind of wavers a little bit, goes off kilter, and then you might have a problem. Now, as far as the handles, in the restaurants, we have to use the, and butcher shops, food processing places have to use the plastic NSF-approved handles. For your home use, rosewood is the best. You want something that is bolted on there pretty well, what we call a full tang, meaning the part of the knife that's not the blade goes into the handle, and you want that to go all the way into the handle. You don't want just through the center. You want to be able to see that metal on the top and bottom of the handle with the rivets or whatever's attaching them, just secure and smooth to the surface. You want that strength in there. Otherwise, your knives end up wobbling and kind of coming apart. So your good cook's knife. The cutting boards, I'm still a favorite of wood. I know for years it was kind of out of favor, but wood is now approved again. The composition ones will tend to dull the knives. And thing is, when you can see the little slices in there, just like a crack on a plate, if you see it, that means there's dirt in it. And yes, you can sanitize them in the dishwasher and make sure, but if you can see the little slices there, that's still dirt in there. The wood, besides being naturally antibacterial, you can take plain steel wool and brush it, and that's going to take off that little bit of the wood. Eventually, I remember seeing old butcher shops, the butcher block was kind of they were almost cutting meat in a, like a half pipe, if you will. It was all hollowed out just from the years of brushing. We used to brush them with a stiff bristled metal brush, and really it was just like sanding down the wood every night, and then throw some salt on there, put the paper over the top. Especially in the summertime, that salt would draw moisture out and kill any bacteria. So really the wood was the, if you treated it right, was the safest thing to use. Now, the motion that you use for slicing or for chopping or for dicing, for mincing, when you're holding the knife, we don't like to hold it like a, well, let's say a mallet, with your hand and your fingers and thumb wrapped around the handle of the knife. What we want to do is your third, fourth, and fifth finger would be wrapped around the handle, and your forefinger and your thumb are holding the heel of the knife right near the top, not the sharp part of the blade, but near the top. And this does a couple of things. Ergonomically, it's better. It gives you more control over the knife. That's kind of your scale there, where if you're going to angle the knife, you just turn your hand a little bit, and the knife won't wobble either. It keeps it nice and true, the motion. Now, your other hand that you're guiding the knife with, you don't want the fingers straight out. You want them curved under. It's almost like you're making a claw out of your hand. But your thumb and your forefinger are touching each other, and your hand is like this. The knife comes down using this instead of this. Knife comes down across the second part of your fingers there. And as you're guiding, your hand is moving like this, or you can actually push product through. Now, we need the guide there because we want uniformity, and you're kind of eyeballing it. And even if you're not sure in the beginning when you start, if you're new to chopping and doing things with precision, get a little measure and measure your, if you want your half inch, you want your quarter inch, eighth inch. And the important thing is, just like with soups or anything else, when you're cooking these vegetables or proteins, uniform size is going to mean uniform cooking. And when they're raw, you're going to have different textures and, you know, different amounts of absorption, even on dressing, if you have the different sizes. Think about the food processor. Yes, it will chop them. You can pulse, and I know you can get, you know, a pretty clean chop, but they're not necessarily going to be uniform shape. And you always, you know, you run the risk of knocking a little bit too much liquid out of there. And plus, you have to clean it afterwards. You got to scrape it out, and you still need to pre-chop. We can't just put whole onions into a food processor and expect to get any good result. You always have to pre-chop, and then use the processor in the end. So, if you're making something that's more liquidy, yes, the blender, the food processor. But for these mixtures we're talking about today, we really need to slice them carefully, and actually, a good sharp knife. Less liquid coming out, especially with onions. I know people always cry with the onions, but that's because liquid is coming out. If you have a very, very good sharp knife and you cut properly, you're kind of forcing the knife through on a slice rather than banging away like you're, I don't know, chopping up something that's you're not going to eat. Some people just bang, bang, bang like that. But it should be a slice kind of forward, or with the tip on the board, up and down like this. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table. And then with these techniques, we'll put together some of these chopped salads and some pico, Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Alabama, a manhunt continues for the gunman who shot and killed one police officer and wounded two others in a trailer park last night. It happened as the police were responding to a domestic disturbance in Auburn, and a police spokesman says of the suspect,
Grady Wayne Wilkes, a white male suspect who is 29 years of age, last seen armed and definitely considered dangerous.
President Trump raising some eyebrows with what appears to be a threat to Iran, tweeting late yesterday, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. People in the southern plain states could see even worse weather today than they had over the weekend. Forecasters expect thunderstorms could again spark some twisters and other dangerous weather. Ford says it's cutting 7,000 jobs by August. And this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Chef Bill's table here and talk about an Israeli chopped salad. So how did the tomato get over there? Cucumbers, of course, were grown, probably came from India or Southeast Asia, but for centuries were grown in the Mideast. But the tomato came over, obviously, from this hemisphere, and like the Italians, the Israelis embraced the tomato. Actually, done a lot of research. I remember years ago, I used to, in the wintertime, when I needed good dead ripe tomatoes, I would buy Israeli tomatoes. Sometimes I always get basil from Israel too. But you know, the scientists over there really did a lot with the breeding, making the tomatoes you know, a lot of good flavor, but still able to be shipped ripe, disease resistant. Some people credit them with the getting the cherry tomato to have a little bit more flavor, but it's really with research. So about the 19th century is probably when the salad appeared with a tomato. And we don't have to worry, of course, about lettuce. You know, sometimes my father planted spinach one time and we were cooking it to freeze, and he had his whole, you know, rows of spinach, all these plants and all these leaves, and then we cook it down, there was nothing left, and he said, well, that's the end of that. He would grow more squashes and peppers, tomatoes, things like that. And in fact, the cucumber is a member of the gourd family. So for this salad, we have tomatoes. I like to use Roma tomatoes. The plum tomatoes, you can normally find them year-round. They're usually in pretty good shape year-round, although a regular tomato would be fine. We're not really peeling the vegetables in this case. We're leaving the skin on for texture, although we do want to take the seeds out. So if you're taking the seed out of a tomato, simply after you're taking off the stem end there, the little core, you cut it across its equator, and with the tip of your paring knife, you can get out those little seeds. With a cucumber, cut it in half lengthwise, and I use it could be a teaspoon or a tablespoon, but something with more of a pointed edge than a round edge. You don't want a bouillon spoon. I'll do this with zucchinis too, especially when there's a lot of seeds. And then scrape down the inside of the cucumber and get out the seeds. So So you have the halves there. So you got tomatoes, cucumbers, onion. I used red onion. You could use white onion if they're sometimes certain times of the year. I know, of course, Vidalias are sweet. Then the Texas sweets come in. And certain times the red onions are mild, but sometimes they're hot. And what I did with my onions, of course, when you're dicing these, you take off your stem end and your root end and then cut longitudinally through it. So through your cut ends, you cut it in half, and you peel off the skin, plus if there's a layer there that doesn't look too good, and lay the cut side down. With the tip of the knife, here again, this is where you need that pointy tip. You'll hold the root end and start making downward slices through the onion. The onions are fairly easy to dice because the structure of the onion naturally allows for that. Tip of the knife, of course, going almost through to the root end. The root end, we're probably not going to use all of it, especially the root part. But you want that quarter inch, so you're going to make quarter inch slices, and then you turn the onion 90 degrees, and then you'll come down across what would normally be rings. And now with your pushing forward chopping motion, you're holding the onion, you're pushing kind of down toward the board, and as close as you can get the quarter inch or half inch, whichever size you're looking for, and the onion will kind of naturally fall into nice little cubes. The cucumber, we take the cucumber, and sometimes I'll go in half lengthwise or widthwise also, so it's just easier to handle. But I'll make sticks. When you're going to cut these little cubes, whether it's carrots, celery, cucumbers, you know, anything like that, you make little match sticks that are a quarter inch wide. And then you can line them up and slice across there your other quarter inch and get your nice little dice. If you're doing eighth inch, just make them thinner matchsticks, and you know your cross cut will be only an eighth of an inch wide, and you'll get nice uniform. If you want to push the knife through, again, you're not looking to chop from the air all the way down. You want to save as much of the liquid as you can. So the sharper your knife, the more purposeful your motion there and direct, you will save that juice. You won't really cry with your onions, but also all that juice goes into the stays in the product, makes it much better. Now you could, of course, do additions to these vegetables. I wanted to try just the straight mix here. So some green peppers. Again, there's a couple of ways to do that. We cut off the ends, and then, of course, those can be diced up. Take out the stem there. Then you'll make a slice lengthwise down the pepper, open it up, kind of take out the ribs and any seeds that are in there. And I cut so there's nice squares of pepper, and then you can cut your sticks and then cut across to get your small dice. If you could take the pepper and just cut it in half and then pull out the stem ends on the two halves, you can also do it that way. You'll cut long sticks and then go across. I like the other way better. You get more uniform cuts. Now, as far as peeling, sometimes you would peel peppers or peel tomatoes for things, for salads or for salsas. But in this case, we still want that texture. And slicing or dicing a green or red pepper, true test of a sharp knife, those are where I've seen the most accidents happen. That pepper skin, although it doesn't seem like it's that thick, it can still throw a knife off. So what oftentimes we'll do is turn the pepper so it's skin side down and slice through that way to make sure the knife doesn't waver. So now we've got so the proportion here now, what did I use? I used six, I made a decent sized batch, about six Roma tomatoes. I used turned out to be 1.5 cucumbers of average size, not real big ones. Your smaller cucumbers would be better for this. You could use the seedless ones if you like, although there still are a few seeds in there. But the regular ones have good juice to them. I like the, and they call them the Persian cucumbers. Two small red onions or one medium one, two peppers, and that gave me quite a bit, enough for a few wraps and a little bit left over for a snack. Now, what I use my virgin olive oil, as I said, we have some that we soak the za'atar in. So let's say for a tablespoon of za'atar, which is a dried spice, if you want to set this up ahead of time, infuse the oil with the spice, and you would then do, for a tablespoon, you're going to do at least around half a cup of extra virgin olive oil. And let that sit. Shake it up, let it sit. And when we serve hummus at the restaurant, we actually shake it up again so some of the herb, what it does is it rehydrates that herb a little bit too, besides flavoring the oil. So since the basic flavorings in this, we've got olive oil, fresh lemon juice, squeezed a couple of lemons into this, and salt and pepper. My herbs, I had plenty of chopped fresh parsley. The flat leaf parsley would be best. Or better, let's say. And then probably the mint. It was a quarter to a third of a cup packed mint leaves. Again, depending on the freshness of it. And go by taste. Fresh herbs if you want to. I guess you could put basil in there, but really, or cilantro if you like. But I think the parsley and the mint did very well. The mint, nice and refreshing. So simply mix this up, and it's ready to go as soon as you mix it. If you don't have the time, if you haven't macerated or you're steeped your za'atar in the olive oil, you could just simply sprinkle a little bit of that in. And as I said, it's sesame seed, thyme, oregano or marjoram, sumac. If you can find the sumac, that's fine. It's nice and bright spice. But you can usually find this mix now either at your store or online. So this, again, side dish. I guess in Israeli restaurants, it's like a given that no matter what you order, you're going to get this as a side dish. So it's good to add some fresh fish. It's good with meat. It would be good if you're doing tortillas or tacos as a topper, especially if you're not into the real spicy stuff. This still gives you the nice fresh flavor of these vegetables. And now there's ways to turn this into something, even main dish. I would think right away of some Israeli couscous, which is the larger one. It could do very well with even if you had the smaller one, lentils. Some chilled lentils that were cooked off, the green lentils or brown lentils, would do very well with this, or some kind of beans. Of course, chickpeas, I paired it with a hummus, but certainly mixing some chickpeas in there if you wanted to add some protein would be okay. Now, taking this to another level, the Greek salad that we think of, and I've seen this even with some main dish Israeli salads, add some protein, do you want to add some feta, do you want to put some olives in there, some artichokes, you can see where this basic mixture could really takes off into, you can see where other cultures get it from. It's that same, there's similarities out there between, if you think of the Greek salad, you think of the Italian giardiniera, you think of the chow chow or piccalilli in our southern states, and that's more of a pickled, but it's still chopped vegetables. Difference being it was preserved in the days before refrigeration. Of course, you had to sock stuff away for the winter, where in the Mideast, I'm sure your weather's a little bit better more often. You can be a little little more growing time, right? You'll get the fresh produce. We've got a break for a couple of messages here, and we'll be back, and we'll make our pico, the mother sauce that we use at the restaurant, and other variations on this nice chopped salad. Chef Bill's Table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're right back at Chef Bill's Table here. So we have our chop salad. So we have something we call pico. It's not pico de gallo. Pico de gallo is that more tomato. It's more like a salsa. And we said earlier, salsas, a lot of times, they have come from the word sauce, or sauce comes from it. They're a little more liquidy. The pico that we use is, again, hand-chopped, and it's Roma tomatoes, jalapenos, and red onion. And, of course, the seasoning is with the lime juice and the cilantro and salt and pepper. So for these tomatoes, now the Romas, again, we don't peel them, but we do take out not only the seeds, we cut them in half lengthwise, and you can even cut them in quarters. And with the paring knife, we take out the seeds and the membrane. So we're left with just the wall of the tomato, I call it. In these quarters. And by the way, if you're doing kebabs and you put tomatoes on there, this is what I like to do, is take all the seed and liquidy stuff out of the Romas and just have that. It looks like a big slice of red pepper, if you will. So you just got that meat of the tomato, and that gets diced. And now this is about 1/8 inch, a little smaller than what we're doing for this chopped salad. This is more of a relishy type thing. Now the jalapenos, again, cut them lengthwise, take out the stem, and then we go into quarters lengthwise. And with the paring knife, and you may want to use gloves if you're sensitive to the capsaicin, you skin out the ribs and the seeds. And of course, you'd like to taste the jalapeno, make sure, you know, check the heat level. If you think you need a little bit more heat, you can either leave some of the seeds or the rib in there, or add maybe a serrano or some little hotter chili to the mix. We find it's best. The jalapenos, we like the flavor of them, and oftentimes they're not as spicy or hot, but that's okay because we can always add some other hot pepper, even if it's a hot pepper sauce, to your mix to flavor it. So in these, again, you'll cut lengthwise matchsticks, very thin, and then cross-cut into your brunoise, or your mix, your mince. Notice we're not putting garlic in either of these two things. Now, if you like garlic and you want to put some in, by all means, go ahead. Sometimes the best way for that is on a microplane. You could grate it or mince it. Again, we take the clove of garlic. Now, with the flat side of the knife, you place it on the garlic, and with the heel of your hand, just give it a little smack and flatten the garlic. Then you can go through and mince it. You've kind of released some of the oils there. Oh, another trick, by the way, if you're adding, of course, avocado, which seemed to be, I mean, either of these things, obviously, you want avocado, you can put some in at the end or garnish on top. The new affliction for people is called avocado hand. You've got, I guess, it's when you try to get the pit out of the avocado, and you either miss, you cut your hand, or when you're trying to get the pit off the knife, and this is where I think people kind of mess up. They try to pull it off with their hand, and that always doesn't work. So if you've got your avocado, you've cut it in half, you've cut around the pit, and now you need to get the pit out of the one side, and most people take the heel of the knife and stick it there, and of course the pit comes right out. But now the pit is on the heel of the knife, and how do we get it off of there? And the best way is at the edge of the table or your cutting board, somewhere where the pit can fall off. You'll just kind of lay the knife on the edge of the table and pull it, let the pit fall up into the garbage can. That's the safest way to do it. Now with this pico, we don't, again, we're not using, proportion-wise, we're not using, it's not really tomato-y. It's say if you used 5 Roma tomatoes, you might use 5 jalapenos and half a red onion. And by the way, with your minced onion, with either the chopped salad or even with this pico, to get rid of, if the onion's a little bit hot, after I've minced the onion, I will rinse it with cold water and then drain it very well. You don't want to use hot water. You don't want to blanch the onion and half cook it. That kind of messes with the shelf life a little bit. If you want things either raw or cooked, and half cooked doesn't hold up too well all the time. So I did. I rinsed the onions with the cool water and let them drain. And that takes some, that's all you need. It takes, again, that some of that heat away from it. So. Taste your onion. If it's a little hot, that's how you fix that. So we've got, your 3 ingredients for this. We're not using any cucumbers, of course. Lime juice is the acid. Cilantro is the herb. If you can't have cilantro, I know there's some people that get that soapy taste. A combination of fresh parsley and basil will work very well as a nice substitute, a half and half. I've done this in gazpachos and things, or some, if I don't have any cilantro, right? You got to somehow flavor these things. But the tomato and, I mean, the basil and parsley together work pretty well, especially fresh parsley, good fresh leaf parsley. Then your salt and pepper, and again, for heat, if you need to adjust with a little bit of Tabasco or other cayenne sauce or even cayenne pepper, that's fine. But then you have something called pico. And again, that holds up because of the lime juice, and we're not putting any oil in there. It's a good little relish to keep on hand. As I say, we flavor, I mean, if you wanted to make any kind of salsa, a fruit salsa, we've done it with peach, we've done it with pineapple, you know, different fruits, if you will. You'll take your fruit and dice it up and add some of this pico for flavoring, and you've got instant salsa. That's why we call it one of our mother sauces. Very versatile. But it needs to be hand-chopped. If we did this in the blender or the food processor, it would not be the same. All right, so we're winding down another hour here. Chef Bill's Table. And think of these chopped salads. You know, chopped salad you can usually get in a restaurant. And say we used to serve one. I wasn't really happy. The lettuce, if you don't serve it right away, the lettuce just leaks out too much liquid. Dilutes everything. It's not good. If you're doing a chopped salad, make sure it's just vegetables. Of course, you can take it further with, you know, some dried beans or the cooked legumes, beans, peas, couscous, lentils. Could add other vegetables. If you want to take it to an antipasto, all right, now start putting some cured meats, artichoke hearts, olives, all kinds of stuff. But keep your knife skills sharp, no pun intended, keep your knives sharp, and hand chop. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the results. Chef Bill signing off. We'll talk to you next week. Well, Memorial Day. We've got a bye week next week, so you can always pick up an archive, and then 2 weeks back at the table.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
In Alabama, a manhunt continues for the gunman who shot and killed one police officer and wounded two others in a trailer park last night. It happened as the police were responding to a domestic disturbance in Auburn, and a police spokesman says of the suspect,
Grady Wayne Wilkes, a white male suspect who is 29 years of age, last seen armed and definitely considered dangerous.
President Trump raising some eyebrows with what appears to be a threat to Iran, tweeting late yesterday, if Iran wants to fight, that will be the official end of Iran. People in the southern plain states could see even worse weather today than they had over the weekend. Forecasters expect thunderstorms could again spark some twisters and other dangerous weather. Ford says it's cutting 7,000 jobs by August. And this is USA Radio News.
So you sit down and do your budget, and you look at all your monthly costs and your bills and your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. That is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your health care. And when it comes to health care sharing ministries, MediShare is really the gold standard. It's been around for 25 years and has more than 400,000 members. It's been around so long and grown so much because it works. And whether you're single or married or have kids, this could make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. $500 a month can more than cover a car payment or payback loans, whatever. So join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Here's the number to call. They are incredibly kind and helpful to talk to. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Members of the U.S. military in Iraq are said to be on high alert at this hour following a rocket attack earlier. The rocket landed outside the U.S. embassy in Baghdad. No casualties were reported. The Trump administration recently ordering U.S. diplomatic personnel out of Iraq due to heightened tensions with Iran. We told you moments ago about 7,000 layoffs by Ford expected by August. Getting more information now, word is about 2,400 of those jobs would be cut in North America. It's no secret that President Trump uses Twitter a lot as his primary method of communication, and he addressed his use of Twitter in an interview that aired last night on Fox.
I've destroyed bills that were going to be voted on that were bad, and I've gotten bills passed that were good by using Twitter. And Twitter is really a typewriter for me. It's really not Twitter. It's